told them as they was picking me up that it'd be their fault if I fell. But I just wonder who was laughing at me and who'd be laughing at them. Yeah. I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for a beautiful day. Went outside this morning. I don't know if I've ever known it to be this cool in June. It's kind of nice. I'm thankful. Thankful Brother BJ's here. Thankful for each and every person that's come. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach God's word at my home church. I'm thankful for it. This morning, I've got a burden on my heart. And I've lived it all week. I've fought and fought and fought to get to this place right here, right now. I've prayed for you. I've prayed over the service. I've prayed for the message, God's message. I've been praying. And I've got a burden on my heart I want to share with you this morning. And I hope that I don't make a mess out of it. I pray that God uses this and takes complete glory for it. And I rebuke Satan off of it. Been rebuking him all week. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that his Holy Ghost just comes in this place. But if you'll join me in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. The greatest sermon ever preached. The Sermon on the Mount. As I read this and as I went through this, I just couldn't help but think how awesome it is that we've got the letters in red to hear exactly what our Savior said. I can't help but think how awesome it is that anytime you get to a point that you don't know what to do, you can open up this book. And I about bet you that anything you're going through is going to be in that Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Somewhere between Matthew 5 and chapter number 7, what you need is going to be there. And if it's not there, I bet you it's in these bindings. This morning, if you will stand, we're going to start in verse number 38. Matthew 5 and 38. "You have heard that hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Verse 41, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain," or a second mile. "Give him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for allowing us to be here. I thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you, Father God, for your blessings. I thank you, Father God, for the healing that you put on BJ. I thank you, Father God, for the doctors that led their hands, for you leading their hands. I thank you, Father, for just allowing us to be here in this beautiful day you've given us. I'm asking you right now, Father God, that you just come into this place, Father. You rain down on us, Father God. I pray that we just put the world far away from this place. We cast it out of this place. And I'm asking you, Father, that you just rain down your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord God, I pray you sweep through this place and touch every soul here. I pray you purge their minds and our hearts, Father God, and let us solely concentrate on the word that you'll have for us to have. Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that if there be one here lost, Father, that they come to know you. Backslidden, that they come back. They come back to that spout where the glory runs out, Father. I pray that they get in this altar, this old-timey altar, Father God, and they do business with you, Father, before they leave here. Lord, I have a burden, Father God, and I pray that you just take complete control of my heart, my mind, and my mouth, Father God. Use me as your mouthpiece, Father, and let me not make a mess of this message that you have. Lord, I pray you have me far in the shadows of the cross, and that only you be seen and glorified in this place. I ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Verse number 41 is what I want you to look at this morning. "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain," or another mile. That's the title of the message this morning, is a second-mile Christian. A second-mile Christian. I want to know this morning, or I don't want to know, I want you to know this morning, before you leave this place, my prayer is that you know whether you've been being or you can be a second-mile Christian. That wasn't me. A second-mile Christian. Have you went the second mile? Have you done the extra things? I want you to ask yourself that this morning. It don't matter about what the person beside you's done. It don't matter what about the person behind you. It don't matter what I've done. I want you to ask yourself this morning. Have you been the second mile Christian? Have you walked the second mile? Now, as you could probably tell, and I know it may come to a shock to some of you, but I've never been too good at running. Okay? And even before I had my wreck, never been too good at running. Really not good at it now. But when I did run, even though I didn't like that first mile, it normally wasn't that bad. About three laps in, you know, you're kind of thinking, what am I doing? But if you ever had to run a second mile, it just wasn't no camp. I can remember playing baseball, and we didn't run miles in baseball because there wasn't really no way of tracking it. But anytime Coach Jenkins got mad at us, he'd say, hit the pole. And I remember him throwing his bat up in there. And he would jog out to the pole with us. And when we got to the pole, now you got to run from foul pole to foul pole. And usually we'd run about 10. And down there in back's one. We'd run about 10, you know. But if he got mad because somebody was dragging around and just didn't really care about that extra step to go, now we got 10 more. And the first wasn't that bad. But it was the extra that we had to do that just really, my wife told me I couldn't use the word I want to use, but it just ain't no good. Just ain't no good. It's hard to do. But there's three things this morning that I want to look at, three things that I think the Lord will have us to look at about the second mile. And the first thing is it's the master mile. If you can get to that second mile, it's the master mile. It's the mile where you have made it to the point where you are in control. You are the master of the situation. It is the master mile. Verse number 38 and 39. Ye have heard that Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever smite thee or slap thee on the right cheek, turn him the other also. Now, don't get it twisted. God's not saying you're not supposed to defend yourself. Don't get it twisted now. But what he's telling you is that if somebody comes up and they insult you, they just badmouth you, they turn you down, they're whatever you can imagine. Everybody's thinking of something right now if you're paying attention. But he's not saying that you just go ahead and slap me again. What he's telling you is that if you've got the self-control and you are filled with Christ enough that you can go, okay, and not return evil for evil, but return good for evil, then you have mastered that self-control and you're stepping into the second mile. Thinking about self-control, I watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge this past week, Memorial Day, matter of fact. Anybody seen that movie? If you haven't, you need to go watch it. It's a good one. I'm probably going to get some of this mixed up, and this is my words, not theirs, because I didn't recall it very well, but the movie, Hacksaw Ridge, Private Desmond Doss, I don't remember how many people he saved, but he went into the Army as a conscientious, objector. I can't say the word. But he went into the war, into the Army, saying, I want to serve, I want to do what I need to do, I want to do what I've been called to do. It is my duty to do this. But I don't want to carry a gun. I don't want to step out there with a gun because he said that the Bible said that to take not a life. And he just felt compelled to serve, but he didn't want to serve in that manner. And everybody in his platoon hated it. Hated him for it. Couldn't stand it. Now, I wasn't there, but watching the movie, if what their events were, if their events were true in the movie, there was a particular person that was in his platoon that really didn't like it, sort of bullied him about it, let's say. And there was a certain part where he reached up and slapped Private Doss. He slapped him. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but there's two things that I just can't stand. And I've been, and both of them have been done to me. Slapped and spit on. I can't stand it. And I don't know that I can have the self-control that Private Doss had, but when he got slapped, brother, when he got slapped, he stepped back and he just, hey, you know, he didn't say nothing. He didn't have a response. And see, the world that we live in says he's a coward and says he's nothing and he's a sissy or whatever you want to say, because he let this man slap him and he didn't do nothing about it. But what God's saying here is that he's mastered that second mile. He's going above and beyond. He's doing what he's got to do. Hey, look, I'm not here to fight. He wanted to be a medic. He wanted to save people. And in one part in the movie, he said, in a world that's going to heck, I don't see where it's that bad, and there's so much evil and bad going on. He said, I don't see where it's that bad to actually try to put some good back in it and just save people. But then after he got slapped, he went on, and the guy hit him, and he got beat on and all this. And they tried to, they done so many things to him, trying to get him to quit and just step out. But he kept going the extra mile, all the way up to the point where they go to Hacksaw Ridge, and they climb up this ridge, and they go in, and our troops are just getting beat down. And now Private Doss has been up there, and he saved however many people, and he's dropped them off. Now, fast forward just a little bit, they don't want to go back without him. The man that was hated so much because he was standing for something good, that they thought, there's no way you can be a benefit because you don't have a gun in your hand. And that's the only reason. You don't have a gun in your hand. And all he wanted to do was help. He stepped out that extra mile, and now the whole platoon and everybody around him don't want to go simply because, don't want to go fight without him because of the God he served. So I'm asking you this morning, have you walked the second mile? Have you stepped out in the second mile? Verse 44, verse number 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There's been so many situations over the last couple of weeks where I've just felt like, just in my personal life, in business, I have felt so betrayed and so beat down that I just didn't know what to do. And then every time I would get to a point where I would want to say something. I'm at my breaking point, brother. I'm right here. I'm fixing, like somebody's fixing to hear from me. God would call me down for it. And it's not because there's anything good about me. Don't get that twisted. Don't look at me. Look at the cross. I'm just trying to show Jesus. It's all because of His convicting power is the only reason why I didn't wind up in a fight. It's all because of Jesus is the only reason why I'm up here. I wouldn't be here talking to you if it wasn't for Him and the change that He made in my heart, the change that He made in my life. I'm not saying I always walk the second mile, but I'm asking you, have you? Because there's times in our lives where we're going to fail. We're not perfect. There's times in our lives where we're going to have people persecute us. We're going to have things happen that we're going to fail at. But more often than not, we should be walking the second mile. The second mile is the smile mile. The second mile is the smile mile. I'm not going to read it. Y'all know the story. I'll just tell you a little bit about it. I feel like I'm a pretty good example. Luke chapter number 5, verse 17 through 20, the paralytic man that got carried to Jesus. I tried to find the mileage that they carried him. I couldn't. Maybe y'all can find it. But his buddies went and they carried the paralytic man to Jesus. Now, I don't know. I know it's a joke, and I know we laugh, and I try to make everybody laugh, and I think it's funny and all that, but two or three of y'all could have picked me up. and toted me up the stage. Okay? What I'm asking you, or what I want you to think about, is the fact that two or three men took somebody that's my age, let's say, and walked him however far, and when they got to the door, okay, when they got to the door, now there's people lined up. Now they can't get in. And I believe not just any church, not just this church, not just one person, but I'm telling you 95% of the church would probably stop right there and be like, "Brother, I don't know what to tell you. Can't get in there today. Can't get in there today. We ain't going to make it today, man. We're going to have to come back another time." But these fellas right here, these brothers right here, they said, "You know what? We done come this far. We done walked that first mile. We got you to the door. Man, I'm going to put you in there. We're going to be in there. I'm going to get you in there because we're going the second mile." Moving on down right there, they go up, and y'all know the story. They dig out the roof and they lower him down. And Jesus said, verse number 20, "And he saw their faith, and the man was healed." He saw their faith, and the man was healed. He got up out of the wheelchair. He got up off of the pallet. He got up off of whatever it was. And he walked out. All because his buddies and him went the extra mile to get him there. The smile mile is doing more than is required. A lot of people, I tell this story a lot. I think I probably said it here. And I know I've said it in Sunday school, but a man told me one time, I think I was sitting there, I'm pretty sure, but tithing come up and said, "I don't see how y'all can afford it." And the elder in the room that never said a word spoke up and said, "I don't see how you can afford it. Or I don't see how you can afford not to." See, we think about when we hand that tenth and it's, "Oh man, I don't know. I don't know what we, and I." Well, because I got to. But then when we have a voluntary offering or a love offering or whatever you want to call it, you know, that's when it's going the extra mile. And I'm not asking for an offering. Y'all don't start digging around your pockets, see if you got any change. That's not what I'm asking for. What I want you to understand is the fact that when it's time to give, why aren't we giving? Why aren't we just giving in faith and believing that God's going to take care of it? Why? Why can we not just give and just understand that God's going to bless us for it? It may not be in 10 minutes. It may not be in a year. But He's going to pay it back tenfold if we give with just faith in our heart. Verse 46. For ye love them which love you, what reward have you? It's easy for me to love my mom because she loves me. It's easy for me to love my kids. It's easy. It's easy for me to love y'all in here because everybody's a Christian in church. Everybody that walked through those doors this morning is a Christian in church. It's easy for me to love y'all here. But let's go outside and start working together in 100-degree heat and see how much love we got then. Let's go out here and you know what I mean? Let's go do something together. Let's just a couple of us, because a crowd makes you know, we're back in church now, we got that right. Let's go out here and do something together and let's just see who we really are. So I'm asking you this morning, when you're out there and you're at work and BJ's not around, when the Bible's on the dash of your truck or it's laying in the shelf at home, are you walking the second mile? Are you walking the second mile? I'm going to tell you another. I've got a couple of stories right here. Another one, Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty guy, just passed away, you know. I don't know the man personally, but he seems to portray Christianity very well. Okay, I think everybody can agree to that. He told a story one time, And he kept referring to this man as his brother. And as I watched this, a couple different clips, trying to figure out exactly, because I thought it was just him and Si, this man that he's referring to is a black man. And he's referring to him as brother. I don't remember the whole story, but it was something about he was transporting drugs across Texas. He gets caught. Phil gets a call. Need to go talk to the judge. You got to talk to the judge. Something's got to be said to the judge. You got to go help him. So Phil gets in the car and he goes down there and he says that he's pleading with the judge. He's pleading with the judge and he's talking on his friend's behalf and he's trying to, I guess, use his clout or whatever to try to help him out. And he said that the judge looked at him and said, "Mr. Robertson, you mean to tell me you have a problem with justice in the state of Texas? You mean to tell me that you have a problem with justice on a drug dealer?" And he said, "No, Your Honor, I don't have a problem with it at all. I don't have a problem with justice at all." He said, "I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for mercy. I'm asking for you to show mercy." And I couldn't help but think that's the second mile. He didn't have to go talk for this man. He didn't have no ties to this man. He didn't know that man's mama. He wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't his kid. It wasn't his wife. It wasn't even his family. He didn't have to do it. Just like Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. Just like he don't have to advocate on your behalf. But he does. Just like Jesus died for you. Just like Jesus, Phil went and pled for mercy on the behalf of his friend. Now, Phil's not Jesus, and the man still got sentenced. I think he said it was 13 years or something like that, and the story goes on. You can go find it. Go watch it. It's a good one. The whole sermon's a good one. But Phil went the second mile. See, most of us in here, as soon as you hear something about drugs, you're done with somebody. As soon as you hear about jail, you're done with somebody. As soon as you hear about they did something, you're done with them. Or maybe you give them another chance. Maybe you give them one chance, or maybe even two, but they ain't getting me again. They ain't getting me again. You done got me twice. You ain't getting me again. What kind of attitude is that? I'm telling y'all, I've got a burden on this. This is bothering me. When our church people are turning people away because of their past, but we don't judge. Don't get too uncomfortable, because I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe it's just me. I'm just saying that it's such a burden on my heart that we should be loving people. And not just loving them in here, but going the extra mile. Going the extra mile just to help them out. Just a little bit. I'm telling you, I don't know about y'all. I don't know about y'all. Brother, I don't know about you. Tom, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, a phone call goes a long ways for me. But not even that, just a text message. Let me know you praying for me, because I promise you I need it. Just a text message. To somebody that you know that you have a burden for. I love you. I'm praying for you. Whatever it might be. Just call and talk to them. You ain't even got to run Jesus down their throat, because that's probably what they think if they ain't coming here. They just keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. Well, you just keep on and keep on. Because there's plenty of empty seats for them to come sit in. There's plenty of room. We'll bring chairs in like we did for Easter. Just keep on. Just keep on. Step out there and go that extra mile. I done lost my notes. But the Roman, there here we go. I got another story for you. This is back in, you know, what does Jesus really mean by go the second mile? Where did that come from? Back in those days, the Romans had a law. Y'all go fact check me on this one. I'm not 100% on it. I read it somewhere, okay? The Romans had a law, and that law was known as the Roman mile. And it was based off of centuries before where the Persians were going and taking over these countries. And when they took over a country, they wanted to subject these people. And they wanted to belittle them and let them know, we are in control. We have your country. You are our slaves now. That's what they was wanting them to know. So the Romans had this law that a Roman soldier who had a backpack or a burden or whatever you want to call it, had a burden on his back. As he's walking, if he's seen a Jewish man or boy, he could take the pack off and say, you, carry that. And they was required by law to carry it 1 mile. 1 mile. And so what I read was that many Jewish people, many Jewish men and boys would have stakes put out around their place. So they would only carry that pack that 1 mile. They were slaved to that 1 mile. But what I'm asking, and most of us consider this, telling people about it, reading it, walking with it, doing it, a burden. A burden. Most people consider this right here like, well, I'm going to do the bare minimum. I'm not going to do the end of the road ministry. I'm not going to go to Broken Lives. I'm not coming at 5:30 on Monday nights. I'm not coming on Wednesday nights. I'm not coming on Sunday night. I'm going to come Sunday morning. I'm good. You're living in slaves to it when you're only walking a mile. They were slaved to that mile because it was by law. If they didn't do it, there was consequences. But if they carried that pack and they went over the mile, they went over the mile, they went as far as they wanted to go, now they're not enslaved to it no more. They're doing it on their own accord, their own self-control, their own fulfillment. Could you imagine the looks on a soldier when that boy or man or whatever got to that mile and he's like, well, I'm going to have to pick his pack back up now. And the boy turns back and looks at him and says, where are we going? You lead the way, I'll just follow you. Don't worry about your bag, I'll take your burden. I'll go that extra mile for you. I'll go the third mile. I'll go the fourth mile. Just tell me where you want to take it. Could you imagine the Roman soldier? Most of us, if we're at work and somebody comes up and starts taking your slack, you just let them take the slack, right? You know that person that just pops up out of nowhere and says, hey, don't worry about it, man, I got you. I can see you don't feel too good. I can see you ain't doing too good today. I got you. You just hold tight. I'm going to take care of you right here. Come to your house and mow the grass for you or like I said, call and pray for you. Stepping out on that second mile. Not only is it a master mile, not only is it the smile mile, and the reason why, I didn't say this, but the reason why it's a smile mile is because when you're living on your own accord, you can smile about what you're doing. If you're being forced to do something, if these Jewish men and boys were walking this mile, I imagine they wasn't smiling too much. But when you start doing it on your own accord, God's going to bless you enough that it'll make you smile. I promise you that. But not only is it the smile mile, but it's the perfect mile. Y'all look with me at verse number 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Y'all ain't never had friends till you bought a trailer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ever had somebody borrow a trailer? You know what I mean? Everybody always needing a trailer. But y'all sure ain't never had no friends till you buy equipment. Okay? If you got any kind of equipment, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody find out you got an excavator, man, I sure could use this ditch dug over here. I'm just telling you. I'm going to find out who's got some equipment in here. Somebody in here's got a real nice fishing pond, I feel like. I'm going to need some of that. I'm just kidding. But I'm being serious when I tell you that it's the perfect mile. The second mile is a Christ-filled life. The second mile is emptying of self and filling of Christ. Letting all of yours go and taking all of His. Doing things Jesus would do. Giving more than what's required. When we start living the second mile, it's stepping out and doing what He's commanded. Stepping out and doing more than what's required. Verse number 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now I just told you that we can't be perfect, and I know that. But if we're not striving to be like Jesus, then you're living slave to that first mile. If we're not striving to be like Jesus, then you're just living slaved in that first mile. No one can fill his shoes, but I don't know why we don't try more. I don't understand why we don't work at it more. We come to church, go through motions. We live that first mile here because this is our obligation, right? This is what we need to do. We need to come. We make sure we get it checked off our list for the week. Get a little bit of Jesus. And we go back home. Live like hell the rest of the week. And then we come back on Sunday morning and now we're in the altar praying, saying, God, why am I not getting the blessings that I feel like I deserve? You're living slave to that first mile. But I want you to ask yourself, are you truly living the second mile? Are you working at it? Are you striving to be it? Or are you just slave to the first mile? The second mile is the perfect mile because when you start walking that second mile, you're walking like Jesus. You're living like Jesus. And like I said, it's a Christ-filled life. But it's more than doing it just here at church. It's more than a mission trip. It's more than the end of the road ministry. It's more than anything that you can. It's more. It's more. When you tap into it, there's blessings there. There's healing there. There's relief and a peace that passes all understanding when you tap into that second mile. If you'll think back, I'm almost positive. If you're saved in this place, you've lived in that second mile before. So why ain't we doing it now? This has been on me so much because I feel like there's so many things that we could do differently. And I keep saying we, maybe y'all are living in it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm behind the eight ball over here. Maybe I'm not walking the second mile. Maybe I'm not on that second mile. But I believe if we'd all be honest, we could all do a little better. It's more than just church. It's more the listening to the songs and singing them. Are we living them? We sing the song, "We're Made for More." We sing that song. But do you believe it? Are you living it? So I want you to ask yourself again, are you walking the second mile? Am I a second mile Christian? Or are we just getting by, doing the bare minimum? Just poking along. Nobody likes that guy at work that just does what he's got to do and leaves. Nobody likes that. Here at church is no different. It's no different. But I can tell you this, I promise you this, that second mile starts right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, I praise you, and I love you, Father God, for everything that you do. I thank you, Father God, for all that you pour out on us, Father. I thank you, Father, for the blessings of this church. I thank you, Father God, for each and every soul represented. I ask you, Father, right now, I'm lifting all of us up to you, Father. I'm asking you, Father God, that you'll just work us, put it on us, Father God. Work through us, Father. Touch everybody from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father God. And put conviction on us to walk that second mile. I'm asking you, Father, that you just breathe that second mile life into us. You put it on us, Father God. I pray that somebody here this morning, they can't sleep tonight because of the conviction of what they need to do to just be that second mile Christian. To go that second mile that you've told us to go. Lord, I pray, Father, that you touch each and every one of us. I pray you forgive us where we failed you, Father. And I ask you to go with us in all that we do. Bring us back here safe with you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar's open.